This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Deflector Shield Shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Fresno to Philly, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, hey, are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Boy, we have got a great show for you. Steve Tasker, former Buffalo Bills special team ace, NFL analyst for CBS, will join us later on in the program in the third hour of the show. We'll talk about tonight's Steelers-Titans game, a biggie for both of those teams, trying to improve their position heading towards the NFL and AFC playoffs. We'll also ask a former Bill like himself, a Bills legend, about the interesting decision, to say the least, explosive decision to go away from Tyrod Taylor and go to the rookie quarterback Nate Peterman for what appears to be the stretch run when they're in position to make the playoffs for the first time since 99. Steve Tasker is going to join us third hour of the show. Second hour of the show, 1 hour from now, Ralph Russo, college football writer for the Associated Press, will join us in studio, and we'll do a half hour with Ralph Russo on the updated college football playoff rankings, the what ifs, who he thinks the best team, the best four in the nation are, and coaching searches ongoing. We'll do a half hour with Ralph Russo in studio coming up here 1 hour from now. That'll also be on Facebook Live, which will be very cool. So if you're heading to work, heading to the office, going to be somewhere around a computer, you can be on Facebook and watch the show and do college football with us and Ralph coming up an hour from now. Is there real concern in Dallas about Jerry being stripped of the team, of the Cowboys? How long should UCLA suspend LiAngelo Ball and teammates? And what is wrong with the Steelers offense going into tonight? All stories we'll tackle. And so hit us up at 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. But let's start with a monster night for Joel Embiid. Let's start with a monster night for the Philadelphia 76ers. Because everybody laughed and everybody snickered. And everybody poked fun. And they ran Sam Hinkie out of town. The NBA had to take control of the Sixers and install their own man in Brian Colangelo and said, you will not lose on purpose, not under our watch. This whole process thing is taking too long. You're tanking for the sake of tanking, and we won't accept that. Well, look at me now. If you're Sam Hinkie, look at me now. Because last night, Joel Embiid, one of the fruits of the labors of losing that much, went for 46 points, 15 rebounds and was stalking a quadruple-double. Ben Simmons, also the fruits of the labor of losing that much, nearly had a triple-double, 18, 10, and 9. And I know this is a Sixers win over a sub-500 Lakers team, but Philadelphia has its best record through the first 14 games with eight wins with an 8-6 record, as they have had in six seasons since before they started the process. And if you are a GM in the NBA right now, how could you not want a monster like Joel Embiid for the next 5, 6, 8 years, seeing how incredible he is? How could you not want the playmaking and all-around ability of Ben Simmons? And the only problem is Markelle Fultz. If only the Sixers took Jason Tatum instead of Markelle Fultz, this team would be a monster team all over the place. Fultz has been a work in progress. But nevertheless, the 76ers, because of the process, because of the losing, because of Sam Hinkie knowing the only way we're going to win in Philadelphia is if we get high draft picks, number one draft picks. The only way we do that is if we lose. So, sorry, but this is the way it's got to be. Hinkie knew it is paying dividends. And the question becomes, with Embiid, Simmons, and the Sixers, with what Giannis Antetokounmpo is doing, the Greek Freak in Milwaukee, with Kyrie and the Celtics, A, is this the changing of the guard year in the East? And B, is the East actually poised to be more interesting than the West over the next 5 to 7 years? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Randle and Embiid battling. Embiid with the ball. Embiid to the left side. Drives on Julius Randle. Goes up. Banks it in. No call. No foul. Bucket by Embiid. 100-100. Joel Embiid with 39 points. A new career high.
Just being aggressive. I did the same thing against the Clippers. And tonight I just wanted to come out and, you know, get down low and be a beast on the...
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
I want to be that beast down there. Joel Embiid at NBC Sports Philadelphia. That was Sixers Radio on the call. Embiid is so phenomenal to watch. Did you see that Dream Shake-esque move in the paint last night? Face up to the hoop. Awesome. Fake left, fake right, fake up, go into the basket. He picks and rolls beautifully. He's so agile for a big man, and he's got an incredible personality. He's everything you could hope for in terms of selling that franchise. It's impossible not to root for Joel Embiid. Man, I hope his feet hold up. Man, I hope his legs hold up. Man, I hope it's not an injury-prone Greg Oden-type career, even though he's already accomplished more than Greg Oden. But he is so special. The Greek Freak is quickly becoming one of the best players of the NBA. And what he's going to be able to do as he continues to grow is unfathomable. And look at the Celtics and their win streak without Gordon Hayward. While the Cavs clunk along and can't seem to figure it out, although they are on a little 3-game win streak right now, playing better after a win against Charlotte last night. Yeah, this is a changing of the guard, because LeBron can no longer be the alpha male 82 games a night, 82 games a season. He can do this for a couple of games a season, but he needs a supporting cast. And I just don't know if Cleveland's going to get that unless we get old Isaiah Thomas back after the injury. But wherever LeBron goes after the season, maybe he stays, maybe he goes, you have three franchises minimum in Philly, in Milwaukee, and in Boston that want to take over that crown. Now, I realize it's a long way to go for Milwaukee and Philly to be positioned as the best of the East. I mean, look, there's still the Washington Wizards, and those guys say it still goes through us. So there are, you also have Porzingis in New York and Frank Nicolina. So you have a lot of young players of the East waiting to fill the void if LeBron leaves. And in the West, yeah, you got the Spurs. You have the Rockets. You have the Oklahoma City Thunder. You have the Trailblazers. You have some teams that want to rise up and become the next power teams of the West. The problem is, can anybody topple the Warriors? And are the Warriors just set there in the West for the next 6 years? I mean, I hope not, because that takes a lot of the drama out of things. But it might be that because the East might lose LeBron, or at least because the Cavaliers look vulnerable and all these other young cats in the East, that the East actually will be more interesting, which is so weird to say over the last 5 to 8 years of LeBron dominance in both Miami and Cleveland. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Right now, everything's pretty damn interesting in the NBA. Right now, I sound like a Van Halen song. The West is interesting. The East is interesting. The Wolves are interesting. Everybody's interesting. And it's early. So that's a good thing for the NBA. But boy, the young stars. Man. It's been a good first couple of weeks of the season. Eric's in Harrisburg, PA, listening to 96.5 and CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Eric?
Good morning, DA. Can I get down with a beam up?
You know it. What's cooking?
Fantastic. Did you see that big man dance around like Michael Jackson last night? Popping him in, passing him off. What a game.
He
Philadelphia's
awesome.
Back. Sam Hinkie should get a statue put out front of him. Cologne should never have been in there. Oh, but hey, we're going to do it. We're going to do it great. DA, thanks for opening up with Embiid. You all have a blessed day.
Okay, man. You too, Eric. If you're a Sixers fan, it's been a long time since you were really fired up, but it's understandable. It really is. I mean, Embiid's 46-15 last night. Oh, just filthy. Filthy. I believe it was Gary Parrish last night had an interesting anecdote on Twitter. He said, I was in the Kansas Jayhawks facility at Fog Allen, he said, Bill Self said, watch this, and pointed to Joel Embiid. Embiid did some crazy shake move and hit a jumper or slammed the ball or something like that. And Bill Self said, he'll be the best player I've ever coached. Man, if his feet hold up, look out. And Giannis, look out. I mean, those are transcendental players if they stay healthy. When we come back on the show, UCLA gets its three players back. Threes are wild after they shoplifted from three different stores in China. So now the question is, what's the proper punishment for UCLA? I'll tell you coming up next. My thoughts, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Ba-da-da. Throwback Thursday here on the DA Show. It's always good to get those vintage CBS promos, sounds, and songs involved. Makes me just warm inside. Glad you're with us on a Throwback Thursday. So hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Remember, you can watch the show as well at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly on your phone or on your tablet, on your laptop, your PC, or on your smart TV. Watch the show at watchda.com. So UCLA gets its three players back who allegedly, I guess not so no longer allegedly because they admitted to it. They copped to it yesterday as part of the press conference. They shoplifted from three stores in China. Now, let's face it. This is big for three reasons. Number one, it's UCLA. If this was Florida Atlantic or Middle Tennessee, shoplifting issues of college kids, not a big deal. But UCLA, it's one of those blue bloods of college basketball. So if you steal at Duke or North Carolina, you steal at Kansas, Indiana, you steal at UCLA, way more attention on you. Number two, clearly because it's LiAngelo Ball, one of the Ball kids. If this was three kids you never heard of at UCLA, again, not as big a deal. And number three, most importantly, it happened in China. If three UCLA players you had never heard of stole from Saks Fifth Ave in Brentwood, I know we're not talking about it because we never talk college basketball on a national level until March. It's definitely not a story. Here are the stories we talk about in college basketball before March. If somebody on Duke trips somebody, or if a coach gets nailed to a prostitution charge, hookers in dorm rooms, or major corruption, those are the stories we talk about. We don't talk about lesser stories like players you've never heard of, on schools you've never heard of, shoplifting. But the whole China thing puts it into a different perspective, I realize. But look, it's so idiotic of the kids. It's so unnecessary for those kids. It's so foolish to do it in international waters, across international waters. I mean, look, again, you want to shoplift at a Quick Trip, grab yourself a few Slim Jims. All right, I think you'll be okay. I'm not advocating that, but high-end stores, Louis Vuitton, China, why is anybody's guess? Why? Stupid, stupid, stupid. Kicking them off of UCLA, this is an outrage from the media reserved because people don't like LiAngelo Ball and the Ball family. I mean, honestly, is this even a story if it's not LiAngelo Ball in China? It has all the makings, don't get me wrong. And LeVar Ball is totally obnoxious, a total oinker. I can't take him. I'm sick and tired of him. It's why we've never had him on the show as a guest. It's why I refuse to engage in this, I can't believe what Lonzo said, or I can't believe what LeVar Ball said, when in reality, everybody knows that's what he is basically trying to do, get you to talk about, oh my God, what he said. But UCLA should suspend these players for X number of games. It's not about kicking them off the team, because if this was three players shoplifting from the Louis in LA, I'm telling you, there wouldn't be a peep. But because it's this international incident, which, don't get me wrong, makes it way more embarrassing for UCLA. And because it's a Ball kid, it's like everybody and their mother had these pitchforks out to kick them out of the team. They should never play basketball again. You've got to transfer somewhere else. It's foolish. It's immature. It's stupid to think you could get away with it in China or a foreign country is even stupider. It was a huge embarrassment to UCLA. Why do they play in China? Because UCLA has the majority of its applicants that are foreign applicants come in from China. That's why UCLA plays out there. It's just a marketing arm for them. It's expensive to go to UCLA. So they need those foreign applications with big-time foreign money that cut the check for American education. All of us here in the States are like, damn, college is expensive. I don't know. I don't think you're going to UCLA, honey. Johnny, that ain't going to work. Can you find something a little cheaper? But when you're going to Russia and China and Japan and these families that view an American education as the end-all, be-all, a huge status symbol, they're willing to cut that check. There's huge money in getting foreign applicants to your school. So going to China, playing there, that's where the bulk of their international applicants come from. So it's a big embarrassment. But kicking them off the team, I mean, I don't know. If this, again, it's all because this was China and this was a Ball kid. Three UCLA players we've never heard of. The other two, you probably have. They were top 100 recruits, but the other two kids you never heard of, nobody's going to have an opinion on kicking the players off of the team, in my estimation. Do we have the clip from LiAngelo yesterday? I mean, I think part of the punishment is just how embarrassed and how embarrassing and humiliating this press conference was for those three kids.
I'm grateful for this UCLA team that stood strong beside us and made it possible for me to be sitting here in front of you all today. I respect and admire all the hard work that they put in to get us back to the United States. I would also like to thank President Trump and the United States government for the help that they provided as well.
That's LiAngelo Ball. My question is, when does LeVar have his first commentary about this? Do we think LeVar is secretly seething at LiAngelo? Really upset? Do we think that he is that is coming down harder from LeVar than it is anybody else? Or do we think LeVar is bending over backwards to excuse away the bad behavior? Do we think that LeVar is entitling LiAngelo to feeling like it wasn't that big a deal? I think LeVar behind the scenes actually is a tough dad on those guys, and then publicly he makes them all seem to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think publicly he promotes them. Privately, he probably parents pretty hard. That's my guess. But it's so funny what college basketball stories stick before March. A ball kid stole from China, and not the ball boy, like one of the ball families. Huge story! Enormous story! Can you tell me who the number 7 team of the country is? Kentucky? Duke? Can you name me 3 players in college basketball right now? The kid at Michigan State. Grayson Allen. I don't know, but I know one of the ball kids stole something in China. When we come back, could Jerry Jones be stripped of the Cowboys? It seems ridiculous, but there's some steam picking up on this side of the story. We'll discuss the reality of that coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Eagle fans, get up, it's third down.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The dulcet tones of Mraz on the PA at his high school. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you choose the superstar battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Coming up, top of the hour, 23 minutes from now, Ralph Russo, Associated Press, college football writer, is going to join us in studio. We'll do a half hour with him on the college football playoff rankings, who he thinks is going to make the end up making the playoff. We'll also ask him about some of the coaching vacancies as well. Looking forward to it. Always like having Ralph in to break down a little college football action. Also, since we did just hear Mraz do the PA for his high school, it should be noted 2017 ended up being the greatest year of Mraz's professional life. Number one, he was promoted alongside this show to move into this time slot in April. And now look, that little quirky overnight radio show that sounded like a spaceship on drugs has a real time slot. 9 until noon Eastern here on CBS Sports Radio. It meant more work for Mraz, more responsibility. At first, he was very resistant on that. He liked a better lifestyle. He liked better hours, but didn't love the fact that now we would have to work harder. Forget the web stream. Forget the digital simulcast. That wasn't even going to be in his purview. Let somebody else handle that. But little by little, I brought him along, taught him how much more work we had to put in to put on a better show in this time slot. And little by little, he grew into that. He then got the call that he would be profiled in his alma mater student radio, a student newspaper. There would be a full page and a half profile on one of the most successful alums of State University New York, SUNY Old Westbury, and their communications department. So if you can believe this, there is a page and a half profile written about the successful career of Mraz that happened earlier in 2017. A little bit later on, in the fall, there was some, apparently, some type of miscommunication, dissidence, some type of division between the existing public address announcer at his old high school and the administration of West Babylon High. They called up Mraz and said, hey, we know you have an ascending career in radio and in the media. We've seen this profile written about you. We know that you're now a pop culture phenomenon.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
We'd like to attach ourselves to your rising star. We want you in that press box.
The law firm of Martucci and Fucci back to receive.
And so Mraz has now become the voice of the West Babylon Eagles. And now the coup de grace, the coup de grace, is that on Thanksgiving morning, 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. Eastern Time, the overnight, filling in for Amy Lawrence's after hours, and then on Black Friday as well, Mraz, for the first time in CBS sports radio history, more than 5 years, nearly 5 years that we've been on the air as the new network, now no longer all that new, he's going to be hosting solo on these airwaves. 2017, how about that, Mraz?
And you forgot I was also revealed as a spitter on the flag football field as well.
Well, I didn't even want to bring
that
up.
There were some dark days in 2017 as well. I embrace not having morals, and I don't care.
I just was talking about your professional ascent. What a calendar year.
It's been a huge year. Bigger things coming in 2018, I say.
I don't know how much bigger they could get.
Size 2X on the button-downs, that's how much bigger.
I heard that tonight, because Danielle, your beautiful wife, is going to be out of the area, that you've got a huge Thursday night planned.
Yes, I'm going to watch Steelers Titans and order $20 worth of Chick-fil-A for myself. I love my sausage smoked.
Well, with an ascending career like this, you deserve the best, man.
And nothing is better than Chick-fil-A on a Thursday night.
When you think about it, though, can you believe your 2017, all these things that have happened?
Yeah. You know, we're on to Cincinnati.
You're so ridiculous. Will you be up listening to Mraz on Thanksgiving morning and or Black Friday, the body?
I won't be up, but I'll find a tape.
You'll get the tape.
Well, actually, you know what? I might be.
Are you one of those Black Friday whack jobs that are going to get up at 4 in the morning to go get yourself a big screen?
I'll watch the news stories about those whack jobs.
Yeah.
But I might be up. I might be like going in the fridge for a little extra turkey.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe I'll turn it on.
Okay.
See what Sean's talking about.
We just got a spit take out of Mraz if you had the camera up at watchda.com.
Just a little extra turkey. Pete's never been one to have the arms at the side of him on Thanksgiving.
So check it out as our man, Andrew Kaplan, a.k.a. the Catman, on the producers of on the producer job of the simulcast, has up the hashtag global producer. That's what we're going to start calling Mraz, either the global producer or the warrior, since he came back after that sinus infection the other day.
That's a concussion. It's my time.
Yeah, it's your time. Apparently it is. I mean, how could I even argue with that at this point in time? Are you going to be calling high school basketball now for the PA?
Yes, that's set to get underway in about 3 weeks or so. So apparently a lot of Wednesday, Fridays on the schedule. But, 2 hours, I'm in, I'm out.
Okay.
A lot going on.
So Jerry Jones is under fire within the NFL circles. And as I've said time and time again, they're not going to be able to strip him of this team. Okay? It's not going to happen. The only way you can do this is if the public outcry is so bad that the marching band of rioters is outside your door and the NFL feels like they are pushed into a corner and cannot do anything else, a.k.a. Donald Sterling. When an owner in a league where some of its brightest stars, most public faces, most popular players, when one of the owners there says awful racist things, you got to take that guy's team away. when a owner in the NFL, and by the way, Donald Sterling, always renowned as one of the worst owners, cheapskates, skinflints in the NBA, not hard to have a bunch of owners say, he's not helping us. Jerry Jones, on the other hand, just got inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, come on. This is his stature within this league. He has pushed for higher revenue. He has pushed for personal and individual marketing opportunities amongst the teams. He has gotten himself an opulent palace to play football in and other teams, other owners following suit. Jerry has helped push their wallets fatter every single day that he's been in office, essentially, as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys in 1989.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
They're not going to take away a team from a guy that has helped them all get so much richer. But, and there's a big old but here, like a Nate Newton-sized but. And the but is, well, the old Nate Newton, because now I think he's skinny. The old Nate Newton but is he messed with their money. You can mess with a lot of things in the NFL. You can mess with a lot of owners. You can mess with a lot of things with NFL owners. Don't mess with billionaires' money. It's the only thing they cannot let go. You know what? You can fight about suspensions. You can argue about domestic violence. You know, emotional guys get emotional. You can battle about relocation. You know, new stadiums. You can fight about all of that. Don't mess with owners' business. And when Jerry Jones told Papa John to go forward, to go public, and say, our earnings are hurt by being associated with the NFL. And we make fun of Papa John all the time for crummy pizza and being a weirdo. But he is, and they are, that company, one of the most visible enterprises and companies with the league. The owner said, No, Jerry, no, now you have crossed the Rubicon. Don't mess with major money. Don't try your behind-the-scenes antics, which is what they've called it, to try to get business taken away. Oh, no, 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 no. And so only since then, Jerry can say whatever he wants about Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, look, this is what's hysterical. If Ezekiel Elliott, and sorry for being somewhat grotesque here, but if Ezekiel Elliott punched his girlfriend in the face, dragged her by the hair down the stairs, threw her on a bed of guns, and threatened to kill her, owners would say, well, you know, we got some bad guys in the league, so I can understand defending your guy. Right? I mean, it didn't matter what Ezekiel Elliott did. As long as Jerry Jones was defending his guy, other owners could understand. But once he propped up Papa John, like Pinocchio on his shoulder, to say, hey, man, go after Roger Goodell and the business of the NFL, suddenly owners were like, oh, no, no, no. So now, according to a report of the Washington Post, the NFL is accusing Jerry Jones of conduct detrimental to the league, and owners are considering disciplinary action against him. Yeah, part of this is him squawking about Goodell's contract, which is hypocritical at the very least, because before the season began, he was part of the 32 owners that voted yes to extend Goodell, and you know what? Now the compensation committee, you take it over. That's what Jerry Jones voted for. Yes to Goodell being the commissioner, and then you guys handle the compensation. And Jerry's not on that board. And suddenly he can't believe Roger wants all of this compensation. Where do you think that stuff is getting leaked from? This is all because of Zeke. And this is all because of what he views as the anthem stuff hurting his bottom line. And this is him throwing a stink fit, because Jerry is now in the Hall of Fame and Jerry believes he's untouchable. He has garnered power in political circles in this league continuously over the last 25 years and now believes he is untouchable and Teflon because he's in the Hall of Fame. This guy threw himself a billion-dollar party when he got into the Hall of Fame. You don't think he's real proud of that? The letter was sent to the league from the league to Jerry's lawyer. And the letter says that Jerry's antics are damaging to the league and detrimental to the league's best interest. And so instead of taking the team away from him, what they are suggesting is a heavy fine or docking draft picks. Again, this happens because he's messing with their money. And he's now gotten out of control. They could handle Jerry Jones with just a little bit of, I'll work with others. Now, they've created a monster. Now, part of this is them. There's 32 owners there, and guess what? Jerry could be obnoxious as long as he was helping make them more money. Oh, the new stadium? That helps us all out. Oh, the marketing deals? That helps us all out. Oh, the television deals? That helps us all get richer. And so, if Jerry was obnoxious and Jerry was ridiculous, they could deal with it. But now, he's in the Hall of Fame, and now he's going scorched earth on this league, and now they're giving him pushback. They helped create this. This is like the Odell Beckham thing. This is Odell Beckham of owners. You coddle him because he helps you. You don't discipline him because he helps you. And then the moment he goes off the reservation, you go, how did he get so bad? He's a monster now. We can't control him. But could you imagine if the Cowboys lose a first-round draft pick because Jerry Jones is now out of control, ego run amok? And I hope he gets that. I hope he gets that. Because people like Jerry need to be checked sometimes. It's so ridiculous. It's so petty. It's so hypocritical that Jerry deserves to get that first-round pick docked. And it once again shows just how dysfunctional the internal machinations of the NFL is. It's the most dysfunctional. The most. What did Mark Cuban say? Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Mraz just here getting fat on life. Jerry could be the hog.
Oink, oink, pig, can you sing a song? Yes, sir, 3 minutes long.
Frankly, the ones that do have the background experience, and they can't tell me this morning either. But his swing of judgment has been unbelievable, from the Ray Rice thing all the way up to
Oink, oink, pig, can you sing a song? Yes, sir, 3 minutes long.
And I can show you some things that he wants to take back. This is a very example of it. I am very troubled. I'm sure he'd like to take back his initial Ray Rice stance and a few others.
Tyler tweets, DA, I haven't been feeling too well since what it seems like the fall winter started in my area. Can you beam me up? That'll make me feel a little bit better. Thanks, man. Hashtag allergies suck. You know, here in the Northeast, it has been gray, rainy, and cold for I feel like 2 weeks. And now I understand what people in Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, have to deal with. Usually around this time of the year here in the Northeast, we get a few pockets of sun every so often. It rains one day, it's sunny the next. It's cold one day, it's fine the next. I mean, how long has it been freezing? And I haven't seen the sun in 2 weeks. Anybody else feeling like this? I got this SADD, that sun deficiency thing going on.
We're not
going
to see the sun till St. Paddy's Day at a minimum at this point.
I am now eating really poorly because of it. Like, I can't stop eating barbecue. I can't stop eating meat. I can't stop eating fried foods. Is because once that sun goes away, you're like, I just need to eat something.
Yeah, that's the reason for me, too.
That's for you, too.
Yeah. No question.
We're going to have Ralph Russo joining us coming up here on the show in studio, top of the hour, 6 minutes from now. We'll have him in studio talk about who his final four will be in college football, how he projects it. If he thinks that the committee's gotten it right, what he thinks about contenders and pretenders, who can crash the party, and some of the college football coaching openings that's coming up at the top of the hour. And we'll play a little game show with him as well in terms of the coaches that are currently employed in college football. Like, who's the most obnoxious and who's the most overrated? Ralph Russo, college football writer, joining us in studio next. Watch at watchda.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.